It's great when the Holy Spirit sorts things out. So last Sunday we had Lynn's here. How many of you were here last Sunday? Wasn't it just extraordinary? It was just unbelievable, wasn't it? So Lynn's has this amazing ministry all around the UK, just leading kids to Christ. And he's got this great concept, I just love it, called the after show. And how we're all going to the after show. I just think it's a brilliant concept. It's a great piece of branding. I love it. So, we're all being prepared to go to the after show. The really big gig in the sky. The really big one. The really big one. That's what we're being asked to do. We're being asked to gather as many people as possible to go and join the after show. Just be part of the after show. And just to see the glory of the Lord. The greatest show you're ever going to see. The after show. Isn't that an extraordinary thought? Isn't it?
Yeah.
So they played this song last week, which I thought was just stonking. This beautiful song, the band played. And all week I've had this song in my heart, and I've been singing it every single day. Literally every day in the car, been singing this song. So I come in here, and I go to get prayed for, and I go over there with my skinny legs and my checky shorts, and off I go, and I hear this lady singing this song. So she's going to sing it now. Because this song is so on the money for what I want to say today. So she's heard the Lord. Isn't that great? It's very useful when you have anointed leaders around you that actually hear the Lord. Isn't that good? Let's honour her. Isn't that good? Yeah, come on. I do actually think also after last number, she was raised in a black church. I'm not sure about that. With all this going on. We might need a bit of this morning. Yeah, let's preach it. Come on, Angie, off you go, darling. Sing this song. Why don't you stand? I want this song to get inside of you. You can make a choice about worship. You can allow it to go to here, or you can allow it to go to here. When it goes to here, something happens. Something transmits. Something, the power of the gospel comes to you. When you stand there, you go, okay, God, hit. All right? So get in the hit me phase. Just get in the hit me phase. That's right, every sunrise.
The colors of the morning are inside your
every day.
The world awakens in the light of the day.
Oh, yes, Lord.
I look up to the sky and say, You're beautiful.
I want to take you to a place now when you close your eyes. As I sing that quietly, I want you to imagine this. I want you to scene set now. I want you to scene set. It's the end of your days. You're standing on a shoreline. And in front of you are the myriads and myriads, the thousands of the saints, the seas of the saints, saints from every nation, every walk of life, every gender. Some surprising faces are going to be there. Some people you counted out are in. Some people you counted in are out. But they're all there. There's a sea of faces. And as you stand there in the middle of this thing, sea of faces, there is a throne. And on the throne sits the Christ. And as you look up, you see the most beautiful thing you've ever seen in your life. You see the Christ on the throne. You just see him there in all his glory. But do you know the amazing thing is? It's him that sings this song to you. He's singing it to his bride. And he stands up and he sings this song to you and he says, you're beautiful, you're beautiful. You don't understand how beautiful you are. And you've sung it the whole of your life. You've sung it the other way around. You've sung it the other way around. You've gone, God is beautiful. And God is there and he's saying, no, no, you don't get this. You don't get this. You don't get this. You're the one that's beautiful. So sing this to yourself now. Have the courage to sing this to yourself. This is how Jesus has made you. So sing it again. sing till I see your face. Thank you. Let's sing.
You're beautiful. I see your face. You're beautiful. You're beautiful. You're beautiful. I see your face. You're beautiful. You are beautiful. You are beautiful to me. I see your face. It is beautiful. It is beautiful. It is beautiful. I see your face.
Scripture says this over you. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of Him who called us by His very own glory and goodness. And through these we have been given us the very great and precious promises, so that through them we may participate in the divine nature of God and escape the corruption of the world caused by evil desires. Would you like to sit down? Your divine nature this morning. And you're called to goodness. And you're called away from corruption and greed and malice and jealousy and envy and slander. And you're called to goodness. The very core of who you are is the divine nature of God sits inside of you. Your very name, Christian, is little Christ. That's what it means. You're called to something within you. Problem is, most days it doesn't feel like it. Or am I the only one? So what's going on there? Are we the only ones? Has it always been like this? Has it always been that internal dialogue? You know, the most important conversations you have are the ones you keep having in your head. Do you know that silence is a massive conversation? If I say to my brother, I love you, how much was in that silence afterwards? Perhaps as much as the word, I love you, because I do. So when the Father says, I love you, and then it's followed by a shedload of silence, we all back off. Do you know what the silence says? I love you, 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 I love you. Silence is profound. One of the great heroes in my life is King David. I love him so much for a number of reasons. I love him because, like me, he's an artist, he's a poet. I'm not a poet, but he painted with words, I paint with images. I love him because he loves leading. I love him because he loves taking risks. And I love him because he makes mistakes. And his mistakes were appalling. His mistakes were around murder, adultery. You don't get much worse than that, do you? And yet this man is called a man after God's own heart. And this man, for me, gives us some of the most honest bits of scripture that are around, which is the Psalms. So we're going to look at Psalm 22. This is a real hallelujah psalm. This is a real shake it from the rafters psalm, not. You see, This is how we operate, most of us, in how we deal with crisis in our faith. We deal with it purely on a values and belief system. So what we basically do is, if we're like my dear friend Paul Darius and Sarah, who lose their child Joshua about however many years ago, when we go minister to them, we deal with the values and beliefs, and we worry about whether they are still believing. Yeah? And we register it through that values and beliefs grid. And because we are so strong on values and beliefs, because of our Christianity, so often we read everything through that lens. And we apply that lens as a judgment to all that we think and do. Does it fit my values? Does it fit my beliefs? So, for instance, if we pray for the sick and they don't get healed, we go, well, how does it fit my values and beliefs? If we pray for money and for finances and provision and we find it doesn't come along, that affects our values and beliefs, or am I the only one in the room? And we start challenging whether we value or believe that. Do we actually believe that God heals? Do we actually believe that God provides money? Do we actually believe, you know, I love it when the scripture says the sun shines on the righteous. Well, part of my job is designing homes for the stinking rich. And believe me, a lot of them aren't very righteous. I found that out in working with them. So what does that mean? What does that mean? Just asking a question. So we reference for a values and beliefs grid. But you see, what's so fantastic is this. Over the last couple of years or so, I've been doing quite a lot of study around psychology. Oh, how frightening. The highest order is the order of Scripture. Scripture sits here. Everything else sits under that. So all this is doing is leading you to that. You frame it that way and you're fine. That's a value and belief, by the way, I've just expressed. You haven't worked it out. Hello? This is what's so interesting. You and I operate at a number of levels. The highest level that we operate at, the biggest thing that hits us, when it hits us really big, is our identity. That's the number one boy. When your identity is questioned, so when Paul Darius, his identity question, which is, am I a father? Oh my word, is that big? Hello. Yeah. And then you have sitting under that a number of levels that we all operate at. And these levels actually determine how we apply these levels in our psychology and the way that we frame our faith actually affects how we deal with things, whether you like it or not. So identity is around who we are. Who am I? What does this mean to me? Who am I? How does this affect me? My values and beliefs are all around why. Why? Do you find how many times when your faith is tested, the why question comes up? Yeah? Why that? I've been believing for that, so why? Well, that's your values and beliefs being tested. Then the next question is capability, is how? How can God do this? Can God do this? And how can I do this? How many times are you in a situation and the how question comes up? How can I do this? How can I make this? Am I good enough at my job? How can I be an effective father? How can I be an effective lover? How can I be an effective father in the church? Whatever your thing is. How? And when you go through a tough time and when everything you do goes wrong, when you lose 5 pitches in a row, which we just have done, hello, your capability gets questioned. Yes. But then when you go win the Olympics and the games maker, that's easy. Because suddenly capability comes back again. That's the life I live in. Your behavior is what? What do I do? What's my response? And your environment is your where and when. So where is this going to affect me? When's it going to affect me? How's it going to affect me? It's the where and when question. Most Christians just live in why. Their faith doesn't really migrate through all the levels of who they are. And when your faith really migrates through the who, the why, the how, the what, and the where, and the when you really, really get that, that's when the squeaks stop in your life. And the silence comes. And the interference goes. Psalm 22. Because we all like a bit of scripture to back up a bit of theory, don't we? Why not? My God, you have forsaken me. Why are you so far from saving me, so far from the words of my groaning? What is that environment? God's not in his environment at all. God's cleared off. Polite term. As far as he's concerned, God's cleared off. God is outside of his environment. God hasn't turned up today. So far from the words of my groaning. Oh my God, I cry out by day, but there's no answer. By night, you're just not there. Yet you are enthroned as the Holy One, value and belief. But what torture there is in this psalm. One minute God isn't there, but he's on his throne. Fat look at that is, his throne's not here, it's over there. I'm over here, Lord, your throne's here. You hear the confusion in his heart? Oh dear. In you our fathers put their trust. It worked in the past. They trusted you and delivered them. They cried out to you and were saved. In you they trusted and weren't disappointed. And here is the great big faith statement, King David. I am a worm, not a man. Oh my Lordy. I am a worm, not a man. My identity is, I am a worm. That's what he's saying. He's having that really honest moment with the Father and he's saying, let's get this right, God. Basically, you've done it in the past. Your throne's over here. Basically, I'm over here. And just to let you in a moment, I'm a worm. I feel like a worm. This great, mighty warrior king feels like an all-empowering worm. Got it? No lion, eagle symbolism here, chaps. We're down to the worm. We're down to the bugs. Got it? He's speaking out his identity here. He's saying, my identity is I am a worm. Don't hear that on many Sunday mornings, do you? Scorned by men, despised by people, and all who see me mock them and hurl insults. Do you know what? That feels a bit like the church in this country at the moment. It feels a bit like how the press speak about us. Doesn't it? Trust in the Lord. Let the Lord rescue him. And he goes through this whole thing. Yet you brought me out of the womb. Identity, identity. You made me trust even in your mother's breast from birth. Environment, environment, environment. Don't be far from me. Your trouble is near and there's no help. Many bulls are around me. Strong bulls of Bashan circle me. Roaring lions tear prey. Open their mouths wide against me. This is fairly strong language. I'm poured out like water and my bones are out of joint. How more graphic can this man be? My tongue sticks to the roof of my mouth. You lay me in the dust of death. Oh my word. He's lost the plot. He's lost identity. He's lost values and beliefs. He's lost environment. He's lost behavior. He's lost everything. He's destroyed, isn't he? That's how I read this psalm. This is an incredibly low moment in this man's life. The whole thing, I don't know any other word to use, I'm sorry if it's rude, has gone tits up. But I don't know what else to say. It's all gone wrong. Now listen to this. Dogs have surrounded me, the band of your men have encircled me. Now listen to this, and I could speak all down this, but I can't get caught on this. They have pierced my hands and my feet, and they count my bones. People share and gloat over me. Oh my word. What a prophet. Bang on, David. Doesn't actually understand it at all, just to let you know. Hasn't got a clue what he's saying, just to let you know. Speaking about the cross, speaking about the Christ, in the middle of all his pain, all of his suffering, he speaks these great words of truth and he hasn't got a clue what they're about. He's talking about himself. Doesn't know. Then we hit, without a shadow of a doubt, my favourite bit of the whole Bible. This is the very first line. The Lord is my shepherd. Identity, 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 identity. The Lord is my shepherd. If the Lord is your shepherd, what is your identity? You are a He doesn't start by saying, the Lord is amazing. He sits on the high throne of heaven. He doesn't start by saying, the Lord can do this. He doesn't go to the divine nature of the calling of God. No, 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 no. He goes straight to identity. He says, the Lord is my shepherd. And he stands on it. He goes from worm to sheep. It's not great. But in this context, it's fantastic. And as he stands on his identity, he says, the Lord is my shepherd. Now listen to this. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. Environment, environment, environment. Isn't that incredible? Do you wonder why that's there? That's why it's there. Because God is concerned about your environment. God is intimately concerned about your environment. About the environment of this planet. Yeah? He wants your environment to be good. He wants you to meet you in your environment. And for you to feel comfortable in your environment. And for Christ to invade your environment. Yeah? So he's hit your identity. He's hit your identity. So you stand and you wake up and go, so who am I? Who is Alistair today? Well, I'll tell you who he is. He's just a son of the Father. That's who he is. He's just a sheep. It's not too hard to be a sheep. Have you noticed that? It doesn't take a lot of intelligence. You just follow, basically. You don't have to be blinking Einstein to be a sheep. You just wander along and you follow. Is it really that complicated? Why do we make it so complicated? It's so simple. The Lord is your shepherd. Just follow. And why is that so easy? I tell you why it's so easy. Because when you really know right inside of here that the Lord is your shepherd, it changes everything. Just everything. So when I go for a massive deal and it doesn't appear to come off and I'm sitting there and the bloke's put me on cold phone for about 3 days, I'm thinking, have I got the job? Have I not got the job? Does this man going to do his job? All that stuff's going on. I'm there going, Lord's my shepherd. Not beholden to this person at all. The Lord's my shepherd. I shall not want. He's going to lead me to green pastures. My environment's going to be fine. Absolutely fine. I'm walking in the environment of God. God's my environment. That's who I am. God invade my environment. Touch my environment. I'll pray into my environment. Environment, Lord, God, come. Come to my place of work. Come to my church. Come to my family. Come to my children. Lord, come in my environment. Come. Do you get it? That's how you live it out, guys. That's how you live it out. Come on, Lord, invade my environment. You've made it. You've created it. I could do with a few palm trees today, Lord. A bit too much snow, a bit more sun wouldn't be a badness. Is that all right, Father? Can we chat about this? Can we engage in a conversation about this? What about this conversation that keeps going in my head again and again and again that never get resolved? Lord, can we talk about some of these things as well? Would that be all right? Because the Lord is my shepherd. And I shall not want. Quite a lot of absolutes in there, aren't there? He restores my soul. Wow. The deepest part of me. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Environment again. A lot about environment in this psalm. Surprising, isn't it? I will fear no evil, for you are with me, and your rod and staff. Capability. Your rod, we know what the rod is, don't we? The rod is for correction. The rod is for guidance. The rod is for tapping on the backside and saying, going over there, excuse me, Mr. Bullen, over there. The tap of God on the butt, telling you where to go. Yes, that's what the rod was for. Yes. Isn't that what shepherds use rods for? Have I got it wrong? Yeah. The staff. What's the staff for? The crook is just to guide you, grab you by the neck and sling you over there. So thy rod and thy staff. So God has this incredible capability to discipline, to correct, to care, to guide. This incredible capability. The Father has that capability. So as I just wander around as a pretty useless sheep, not really knowing quite what's going on, looking a bit of green grass here and there, there is my Heavenly Father just steering me all the time. Just tapping me here and here. Just tap here, tap here, tap here, tap there. No, just tap there. Tap. Ever felt the tapping of God? Ever felt the rod and the staff stuff go on? Yeah? Do you know what that is? It's just a bit of great capability from the Father. Only God can do it. He's just tapping you along. The capability of God to govern. What a wonderful thing that our God governs our lives. Isn't that great? He just comes and governs. He just comes and governs a few blind sheep. Now listen to this. This is when it gets really powerful. For you prepare a table for me before the presence of my enemies. Oh my word. You prepare a table for me before the presence of my enemies. Oh my word. You prepare a table for me. Capability, you prepare the table. My behaviours, I'm going to have to eat now. Where am I going to eat? I'm going to eat in a really, really safe place. The table of my enemies. I think I need to know my identity here. If you want to really punch your weight for the kingdom of God, believe me, you better learn to sit at the table of enemies. Because we're in a battle. Hello? Wake up, smell the coffee, church. We're in a battle. So, can you sit at the table of your enemies? Your enemies in your road. Come on, let's have an honest conversation. Your enemies in the workplace. Oh. Your colleagues, the businesses you're competing against, the structures that are corrupt, the injustice. Can you sit at those tables? Mr. Van, can you sit at that table and bring justice? Can you sit at the table of the enemy and bring some justice? I think you can, because you know your identity. Because you see, when you sit at the table of your enemies, and you know who you are, it's not a problem. Because the shepherd's right beside you. And you're just sitting there. And it's cool. Because you know the shepherd has led you to this place. Thursday this week, Sandra has had this dream about building a company, a web-based product called whenmakeitolder.com. This is an advert, if you're not wondering. And the whole idea is that for the young, sprightly generation that is me, in the mid-30s, delusion, capability definitely gone, in the 50s, the big issue for us is how to look after your parents. And she felt God begin to speak to her about this, about the call of the church being for the next generation, the biggest issue probably in our nation at the moment. So she decided that she would build a website called whenmakeitolder.com, which would just be a portal to help people deal with those issues. This Thursday, she goes to one of the cabinet rooms and meets one of the ministers for social services, Douglas Hurd's son. And she's called in as an expert to speak on a panel of eight around this issue. Do you know why she can do that? She knows who she is. You've met her. Yeah. And when she got there, I said, darling, what are you going to do? She said, there's no point sitting in a room and not making a point. So I'm going to make a point. She made a point. The minister tore her down. The only person who criticized the entire meeting was her. Next day, you look, I check her Facebook. She's had person after person in that room saying, you're right, you're right, you're right. Can I speak to you? Can I speak to you? Can I speak to you? She didn't know it was potentially a contentious table. She thought it was a table of honour. She was getting really excited. She got all the best gear on, you know, going today. It's exciting. I was quite jealous. It's true, to be honest. I preferred her environment to my one, which was like, you know, MIMS service station, you know. But hers was better than mine that day. So what happened in the moment, it's dreadful. She gets things like she goes on the Orient Express and gets taken to the waterside. And I go to Essex. It's gone wrong. It's all gone pear-shaped, the whole thing, I tell you. You anoint my head with oil. Where? Where does he anoint the head of oil? What's the verse before? In the presence of your enemies. Anybody not felt very anointed for a very long time? Honest. Just put your hand up. When did you last sit at the table of an enemy? Want to get some oil? Go and sit at the table of an enemy. Just a thought. That's when we need the oil. Just a thought. Just a thought. Perhaps we need the oil when it's really, really difficult. Just a thought. Perhaps this will be the most anointed part of your life. Just a thought. Perhaps this will be the season when the Lord will come to you in a way you've never known before. Just a thought. Just a thought. I guess the Lord the Shepherd is a big verse for you today. Just a thought. And this is a bit that absolutely breaks me. And for all of my life, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. For all of my life, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. How good is that? Just be quiet. I've spoken to some of you today. It's hit some buttons. For some of you, if you're really honest, the issue has been that you're not really sure that God's capable or you're capable. Alison Hopkinson said a great thing to us today. We're going on a charity walk. We plan to go on a charity walk for 50 kilometres. I know it's ridiculous. I think it's ridiculous. I don't quite know how I got to do it, but I am. So we had to do some walking. And she works at TFI and they had some consultants in this week. And the Christian guy turned around and said, which bit of the nature of God do you find the most difficult? Is it the judge? Is it the father? Is it the friend? Is it the peacemaker? Is it the healer? Is it the whatever? Which is it? Well, if you want to grow, go to that part of God. It's good, isn't it? For some of you, it's environment. Environment just stinks at the moment. Environment really isn't working out. For some of you, it's identity. You're still working that one out. For some of you, it's behaviour. You keep wanting to change your behaviours, but your behaviours don't get there. And you can stand for behaviour, but you need to understand what really needs to touch is identity. Because behaviour comes out of identity, you see. See, everything comes out of identity. Everything cascades out of that. So what happens is you try and keep correcting your behaviours. No. Go to your identity. Then when you go to your identity, you'll find your behaviours will fall in place. See, if I believe in my identity, I am a holy man and a son of God. Porn is not an option, putting it bluntly. As Dave Jones put it so well last week, the glance to the top shelf is not a good idea. Hello? The paying people cash and not paying tax is not a good idea. Hello? The not giving is not a good idea. Selfishness just doesn't really fit identity, you see. Coarse language doesn't really fit identity. That's the problem. Bias, prejudice, racial prejudice. Fred doesn't fit identity, you see. That's the problem. So I go to my identity and I say, Lord, deal with my identity. Deal with who I really am as a man. And out of that, my behaviours, my capability will all flow. Do you understand? That's why I personally do not get intimidated by powerful men or women. Because I know my identity. I know who I am. So if you feel as if I've taught this morning some stuff and you thought, do you know what, God needs to do a number on me on that this morning. Just stand. I'm not going to drag you out the front, but just stand where you are now. So I don't know your name and you're new today, but I just, when you came in today, I hope it's okay, I just wanted to say to you that you have a tremendous sense of right and wrong. You've always had a tremendous sense of justice. And you've always had a real heart for the underdog and for the poor. And you're not a man of many words, but you feel things very, very deeply. And sometimes you can't quite work out what you feel. I want you to know that is the hand of the Lord on your life, mate. And I want you to know that you carry something around justice that's profoundly important. Really, really deep. You're a thinker. You do a lot of processing inside there, and God loves your processing. And it's an honour to have you in our house today. And I pray blessing upon you and upon the ideas that are forming in your heart in this season. Holy Spirit, why don't you just gather around your friends that are standing? Just gather around them. And for some of you, the rest of you, I'd like you just to sit and to close your eyes. And I'd like you just to go back to his beautiful face. And I'd like you just for a few moments just to enjoy his face. Carol, you are really called to be, I know you've been through a difficult time health-wise, you're really called to be a cultural architect in where you are. And you don't really fully understand how much you've shifted the culture at that school. And I want to declare over you that you will be a cultural architect in this school and that you will actually change the culture of this school. And I want to call you to changing the culture in that school and for you to begin to dream about how you would like to shift the culture in that school to build on the great foundations already there, but to take it to a new level. And I want to pray for you that you'll be given influence and strength and recognition to change the culture of that school. Same for you, Andy. Same for you. Same for you, darling. Same for you. There's a lady. There she comes. Jesus, 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 Jesus. This lady in the brown top here, the intercessor, the one that prays so much, the one that's always praying, always thinking, always caring, always asking questions. I just pray for a profound peace in your heart in this season. I pray for your environment to change in this season because you're standing for environment and I pray for that to change right now. That's where you stood. I'm really sorry about your environment at the moment. But I want you to know God cares more than I do. He cares so much more than I do about your environment. And just let it go now. Just let that thing go now. Come on, let it go. Come on, let it go. Just let it really, really go. And just know that the real thing God's dealing with in you is your identity. And he's bringing you back to that place of intimacy that you've been missing in the last few months, which has been very hard for you. Because the environment has clouded the identity. It's just taken over. It's okay. It's okay, darling. It's okay. It's okay. It's fine. It's fine. It's absolutely fine. You're not doing anything wrong at all. You're just trying to find a way through as a little sheep. That's all it is, darling. It's absolutely fine. And you're a good sheep, not a bad sheep. And that's been said over you a lot, that you're a bad sheep. But it ain't true.